Norwich-based Isabel King is a multi-award-winning children's author. Her books are based on historic Norfolk fact with imaginative characters in there as well. And she has set up a social enterprise to help both published and aspiring writers, and it is supported by the Prince's Trust and the British Library. We all like a story, and to give you a feel for her work, Isabel reads the storyline of Once Upon a Street.
Roll up, roll up for a circus adventure in Edwardian Yarmouth. Merry-go-race through Kingsland history with fabulous fairground animals. Get swept back in time with the marvellous mice of Wyndham. Meet the magical medieval dragon of Norwich and the musical owl of Holt. Discover the magnificent street procession of a Tudor queen and get ready to be bedazzled by the delightful dancer of a Georgian theatre. Inspired by collections at Norfolk Heritage Centre and the history of Norfolk streets, this book consists of imaginative short stories where love and friendship take centre stage.
Can you tell me about your background and how you began a career in writing?
Yes, thank you. My background is in theatre. So I did acting and dancing and worked in lots of various Shakespearean guises. And I did lots of children's theatre. And in between acting jobs, I worked in a pub, as you do. Kind of around that time, I became very interested in writing and creative writing. I'd always been a really, really avid reader. And I'd loved reading books ever since I was a kid. But I'd never really tried writing. And I kind of looked into writing, and I couldn't afford a creative writing course. I couldn't really afford to do any higher education. So I thought, well, there must be people sort of in the same position as me who perhaps are interested in pursuing writing, but they already have a full-time career, or they can't afford to take a course. The pub that I was working in had a really kind of beautiful library space. So I thought, perhaps if I set up an event here, like a non-profit event, and then I invite an author along and ask them, a published author, some questions about writing, and invite along some guests, then I can find a bit more about how to be a writer and kind of how to get into writing and tips on writing. So that's really how I started, yeah, writing myself.
The pub had a big library.
Well, it was part of the pub, but it did have a space that we called the library space. It was a lovely pub. That was in South Ealing.
Yeah. And is that where you come from?
No. So actually, I grew up in Norwich. Got some very fond memories of the museums, actually, when I was growing up here. And then I moved to London when I was around 17, 18, I think. Moved off to the Big Smoke to be an actor and did that. Worked in London for about 7 years doing acting. And that's when I sort of set up the writing events as well. And then I moved back to our lovely Norwich about 5 years ago, I think.
We all come back, don't we?
Oh, we all come back, yeah. Well, it's lovely, you know.
It is. So could you tell us about the books that you've published?
Yes, so the Norfolk Storybook, they're all children's books. It's sort of aimed around children between the ages of 4 and 10, but they're suitable to be read to younger. So the Norfolk Storybook is inspired by objects at Norfolk Collection Centre, which is a small museum on site at Gressenhall Farm and Workhouse Museum. And they're sort of imaginative short stories which are rooted in factual research and local history. But they're really just all about, I think, what it would have been like to be in Norfolk in kind of different periods of history. And then Once Upon a Street is the latest book. So that's inspired by the history of our local streets. And Once Upon a Time in Norfolk is inspired by the museums as a whole. So you've got museums like Strangers Hall and Norwich Castle. So what I did really was pick an object. They're all short stories. So I picked an object from a particular period in history and then kind of used that object as the springboard or the inspiration for an imaginative story. So for example, the mammoth, we had an enormous great big mammoth in West Runton. I don't know if you know, there's a lot about it at Cromer Museum. I just thought that was fascinating, especially if you think about, you know, Norfolk being in prehistoric times. And, so they found fossils for a mammoth on the West Runton coast, I believe. So for a children's story, I thought that would be great fun. So I made up a story about the mammoth and some of the other animals that he might have met on his journey.
So your books
are based on fact, but there's a storytelling in there as well. How do you come to take up this unusual combination?
I've always loved reading historical fiction. I think what I'm really interested in as a writer is, people, first and foremost. And I think it's that the gaps in history and the things that we don't know where we come in as writers. So, for example, when I was writing about the Snapdragon, I had to research medieval history in Norwich. So I found out that the Snapdragon was used for as part of a procession or a celebration for Guild Day, which would have taken place outside Norwich Cathedral. And they would have had a play, the play of St. George and the Dragon, which was put on by the Guild of St. George. And that's where they used the Snapdragon. And he's called Snap because his kind of jaws snap together. So that's everything I found out historically. And then, you know, I don't really know, we don't really know what type of people would have gone to the event, you know, just ordinary working people, really, just like you and me. So that's what I'm interested in as a writer. So using those historical facts as the inspiration, I then made up stories about the children, how they would have kind of experienced the event. And I think really as a writer, I'm looking at the universal themes as well and the things that connect us throughout history, because history is full of very difficult times as well as good times. And I think what connects us really is that kind of friendship and love as well. So those are the universal themes really that I think connect the fact and the fiction.
Children can get confused. Mm. Is there a way that you get over to them that it's not real, if it's a bit frightening?
Absolutely. Firstly, I tend to explain how I combine fact and fiction as a writer in the introduction of the book, just so it doesn't get too confusing, and explain that much of the story is imagined with kind of made up characters. I think I talk about it in one of the books a little bit like baking a cake. So, and I do that because the children might want to then make up their own stories as well. So I think I say the first layer is deciding what I'm going to write about. So for example, a mustard stamper. And then the second layer would be doing all the historical research, researching mustard in Norfolk and the factory that was in Norwich and Stoke Holy Cross. And then the third layer, which is the really fun layer, is making up all the characters. And that's where the imagination comes in. So I say it's a bit like putting the icing on the cake and kind of having all the sprinkles and the cherries and all the fun bits. And then I try to combine that with school workshops where we'll use kind of historical objects as inspiration for the children to then make up their own story. Because I think that's really important. It's something that everyone can actually do and something that they can do. And yes, I hope that it does inspire children to kind of write their own stories.
And so you don't just publish your books, but you go out and tell the stories to the audience. How did that come about? What made you think of doing that?
I think that for me, the writing and the performance element have always very much gone hand in hand, because I used to work in children's theatre. And I think there's something about reading out loud that is very communal, and it kind of brings communities together. I think there's something about that kind of shared experience of storytelling. Because the beauty about reading is that it can be individual and it can be very intimate. And that's one thing, but it can be collective as well. And so that's why I'm quite passionate about sort of oral storytelling. And I think as well with oral storytelling, it's a way of communicating that that's actually something that everyone can do as well. And that's something that children can do, because I think there are many different types of storytelling. Especially in our digital age, sometimes children don't always realize that a type of storytelling and using their imagination might be online. You know, it might be through animation or illustration, or, you know, it might be through performance or dance. So there's different kind of ways of telling stories. So I think it's just trying to get that idea across, really.
And you mentioned that it's something you listen to with other people. Does that have an impact? Is that different from one person just listening or reading themselves?
Yeah, I think, again, it hopefully brings about a sense of community. And yeah, and I certainly, like, when I'm listening to stories, or if I'm listening to other people tell them, I just find it makes me, want to go to sleep in the nicest way possible. But also it kind of inspires me as well. And I think really as well, I just like it when people are having a nice time. I think, you know, things can be, life can be difficult. It's nice if we all get together and have a nice time, isn't it?
It is. And it's good to learn like that, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, it is.
I understand that you had festive stories telling in care homes in Norfolk. Can you tell me how that worked?
Yeah, absolutely. So I visit a variety of care homes throughout Norfolk, usually over the festive season, and I'll do storytelling, usually on a kind of Christmas theme. Do things like fairy tales, folklore. Sometimes I'll have a bit of a sing-song as well. So that's always fun. Sing some Christmas carols. Sometimes I run poetry workshops as well in care homes. Yeah, so it's a lovely thing to do, and it's been a really lovely way of meeting people as well. Yeah, really enjoyed it.
And whose idea was that?
Oh, well, it's something I started doing, I think, about a year ago, because I was doing a lot of work in schools. And I thought that actually it might be kind of a nice thing to do in care homes as well, because I was reading about some charities in Norfolk that do work with dementia care and people who are very interested still in literature or but can't necessarily get out to events. So I thought it might be nice to bring some of the events to them.
That sounds lovely. And you had a make a story for the East Anglian Children's Hospice event. Tell me about that.
Well, I thought it would be nice to run an event in Norfolk and Norwich Millennium Library. East Anglian Children's Hospice have a campaign to raise money for some of the children, and I thought it would be a nice thing to get involved with. So I thought perhaps what I could do is get some children together and we'll kind of make a story together, so make up our own story. So it was very fun. It was quite silly, because I always think it's nice when people do silly things for charity. And we don't do enough silly things, do we? For charity. So yeah. Yeah, I just thought it would be a nice thing to do and kind of a fun way to raise awareness of that charity here in East Anglia.
You handed it over to the East Anglia Children's?
Yes, we raised a nice bit of money. I can't actually remember. I think it was about 2 years ago now, but I can't remember how much we raised. But yes, I would have handed that over to the hospice. And yeah, I think it was a really lovely day, and the kids came up with loads of amazing ideas, and we just kind of put lots of different hats on and created lots of different characters. And yeah, it was just a very lively kind of day. Everyone was very enthusiastic about it. And yeah, I think it's nice. I think charity can be a lovely way to sort of bring people together and get everyone doing something fun for a good cause.
That sounds great. Thank you. So can you tell us about Books Talk Back, which I understand is a social enterprise that you set up and supported by the Prince's Trust and the British Library?
Yeah, so Books Talk Back connects emerging and established writers. So often I'll run events where I'll have a guest author and I'll interview them about writing. And sometimes I'll have some aspiring authors there as well. So we'll have a feedback panel where kind of the audience gives some live feedback to the brave souls that have just read their work in public. And I try to keep the environment very friendly and supportive so that, you know, everyone is respectful and having a nice time. And so those are the events. And I also do workshops in schools. So it kind of combines with the creative writing workshops I was talking about, where we use sort of factual historical objects as the springboard for our own imaginative stories. And yes, I've very kindly had some really fantastic support from the Prince's Trust and from the British Library as well, who've provided me some space at the British Library to do events, which has been really wonderful. As I said, it was something that I just started in a pub, and it's grown and grown. And I've now just got this vision that I can change the world with creative writing.
I'm sure you can.
I hope it's something that everyone can join in and maybe either spend a little bit of time away from the screen, I think, or, you know, get back to that sense of community and
having fun together.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm. Yeah,
you seem to have done it right so far. I'm very impressed. I think everybody is.
Thank you. It's been wonderful. It's been such a interesting journey, really, and I tend to make things up as I go along because I'm a writer. I think it's always helpful if I talk about failure and mistakes sometimes as well, because being, I suppose, entrepreneurial, I do make a lot of mistakes. And I think what I try and get across to the children and the young people is that's actually just a very natural part of the process. and not to be so afraid of failure, because sometimes that fail can actually be some really useful information, or it can help you get to the place where you need to be. So don't be afraid to fail as a writer. That's fine.
I was speaking to children's author Isabel King. Visit Isabel's website at www.isabelking.net, and Isabel is Isabelle.